out your dialing fingers, your notepads, start sharpening your wits, and get ready to join Bathurst Spears Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. 2.5 hours of talk, hopefully a little action, lots of interviews, and a live guest. We have Eric, a man who is giving away money on the streets yesterday. Who knows, maybe he has some more money left behind him. Stay tuned and see. December 17th, 2000 edition of Bathurst Spears Broadsides. I'm your host, Robert Norse. This is 96.3 FM. We are glad to be with you again, we being me, myself, and I, and even Eric, perhaps, who's our in-the-studio guest I'm about to introduce. His last name, of course, he's going to have to tell me because I've forgotten it. Eric, what is your last name?
Oh, thank you, Robert. My last name is Eric Pesek.
Pesek. Well, Eric, I know that I was surprised to pick up a Sentinel on Tuesday and look in the second page and see a description of a forthcoming event, I guess it happened yesterday, in which you were giving away spare change to any and all, or announced that's what you were going to do. And then again, we had the same, I guess, a larger description in the Good Times. Are you just a generous guy? What happened here? You decided you were going to start giving away money?
Well, yeah, thanks. I'd like to think I'm a generous guy. What had happened was one day, not too long ago, I was wandering the streets of Santa Cruz, and like many people, I was approached by somebody who asked to have some spare change. And like many people also do, I kind of gave him the cold shoulder, didn't give him any money, and walked right past him. And a friend of mine, of course, said, you know, he's just going to take the money and use it to buy alcohol. And I got to thinking as I was walking with my friend saying, well, what am I going to do with the money? I'm just going to take it and use it to buy alcohol myself. So who am I to judge whether or not I can drink and enjoy my money or I can just give it away to somebody else? And so that sort of inspired me. I thought, well, what about having a spare change day where people just give away money on the street to anybody who wants it? And in fact, also to people who don't really want it and who might be a little bit offended that somebody's offering them money just to maybe make a point that it's okay to give away money.
You're just not offering them enough money. Maybe if you've started, I know you're giving away pennies, dimes, nickels, and quarters.
Well, and dollar coins. We had some
really?
Sacagaweas and some. I guess
I didn't get any of those.
Well, I honestly, they were few and far between. It's a lot more expensive to buy those than it is to buy nickels and dimes.
Well, I got to tell you, it was quite a scene, listeners. If you had been there, this was around noon yesterday, and it was at the corner of Cooper and Pacific, right across from the Cinema 9 Theater, I guess where the ski shop is. It's a sort of a snowboard, surfboard
shop.
Yeah,
in front of the... originally, we had planned to do it in front of O'Neill's because there's just a big area there. But when we got there, there was already activists doing their own thing there, and we didn't want to dilute their message or have our message diluted.
Well, I saw some Salvation Army Santa doing the usual give us money so we can give 55% or 80% to charity and then trickle down or tinkle down the rest to the poor. That's what here Second Harvest does, and it's really, interestingly, a major ripoff, I think, and we're going to hopefully talk about that later. We got an interview with a couple people on that issue, perhaps on this show, perhaps on a future one. But, you were there at the corner of Cooper Pacific with two other folks, two women, who were also doing this. Was this really their idea, you, Mr. Macho? Was it a female idea?
Well, no, actually, I can take credit self-servingly. Yes, this was entirely my idea. There were friends of mine who thought it was clever as well, and one of my friends actually drove all the way out from San Francisco in order to participate in this.
Wow. This was one of the two women? Or
yes, yes.
And I know that you had this large, you had a large table, sort of a long rectangular table, and you had on it was written, what, spare change, a series of, not written, printed 11x8 flyers in different colors, and two colors, one after another. And then you had this huge punch bowl full of change.
That's right.
Transparent punch bowl.
That's right. I had actually collected a great deal of spare change over, like everybody does. You know, you go home, you have a jar in your house that has pennies, nickels, and dimes from when you've been out. And I realized, of course, that wasn't going to be enough. I supplemented that by going to the bank and buying a buttload of change.
A buttload of change.
Thank you very much.
True enough. And I guess... you said originally, I got there about 10 or 15 minutes late, I was having trouble finding you. I kind of went the other way toward the coffee roasting company and then got involved with some interviews with homeless people. But when I got back, you know, I heard people say, he's giving away change. They're giving away change down there. And I thought, well, this could be. So it's real. It's not just a press release by, no, I knew it was going to be real because I spoke to you on the phone. I believed you. But, you know, there it was actually happening. You originally had some problems getting people to take the money?
Oh, that's right. When we first got there, we were probably there for about 15 minutes, and we were, you know, actively approaching people, offering them money, and most of the people were turning us down. They were shaking their head. They were afraid to make eye contact. And, you know, I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons we were out there, is just to get a reaction from people and sort of turn the tables on them and instead of being approached by somebody asking for change, we were approaching them, asking them to take some change. And it was performance art. It was fascinating to watch people's reactions.
In case you want to give Free Radio or me any spare change, I don't think you're still giving away spare change, by the way, you can always give a call to 427-3772, or you can talk. We actually also, I would appreciate getting some input from folks out there. Is this man encouraging people to feed their addictions? I mean, here he is giving away money. I mean, isn't this a sort of a, well, I made a big deal of this yesterday as a kind of a performance art piece of my own on the streets, as I often do, ranting and raving about how we should all be shopping and giving money to merchants instead of giving away money to these seedy types on the street. But give a call in. We're talking with Eric here about Spare Change Day that happened yesterday. Certainly, it's the first time I ever saw so much money given away. You had at least $300 or something.
You know, I'd like to know, I wish I could tell you exactly how much money we had, but I know that I bought from the bank a couple $100s, and I probably had a little over $300. I can honestly say we had hundreds of dollars given away yesterday.
We have an incoming call, and I'd like to apologize for not turning my mic up. If that's what you're calling about, caller, I know it, but hopefully you're calling about the Spare Change Day. And if you are, looks like you're calling about my mic not being up. Sorry about that, folks, these technical glitches. It was about $300 that you said you were giving away. And some folks came up with change of their own and started giving away a little bit away. I know Roxanne and Alicia Kistapache came up with quarters and dimes. And
That's right. In fact, we were trying to give away money, and at first what we were getting back was more money. And for the first 15 minutes, I think that we collected more money than we gave away. And we were honestly looking at ourselves, wondering whether or not we were going to be able to be successful giving away the amount of money that we had brought.
So what I'm doing now, as I struggle off here to the side, is getting a little of the actual scene, the audio version of the actual scene, available here. A little last minute dubbing. Have you ever done this before, Eric?
No. And in fact, I've be honest with you, and I haven't given that much spare change to people on the street in the past. So, I I'll tell you, I haven't heard of anybody doing this before either. Although a friend of mine told me that they thought that they heard somebody did this before, you know.
I know the opposite was done. I know that in 1995, the Downtown Association, their attorney, and a number of people associated with them unveiled a program called Real Change, Not Spare Change.
That's
which,
right.
Which was encouraging people not to give out money to poor and homeless people, but rather to give them little slips of paper with allegedly the numbers and names of services where they could secure food and lodging. The only, of course, problem, there were several problems. One problem with that was that the numbers went to answering machines that didn't provide food and lodging, which just provided you with a message, such as the shelters are full, or call again at another time, or, you know, the food distribution is in a week. The second thing was, of course, it was a clear part of the Downtown Association's plan to rid the mall of panhandlers and of the, I should say, poor panhandlers, since telemarketer and richer panhandlers, and I regard some of the merchants as being panhandlers, since they're selling useless junk downtown at expensive prices, similar to the real estate panhandlers, who are selling you massive the right to live in a slum for two or three times what it's worth, crowded in. Thank you, UCSC. I mean, they're all kinds of panhandlers, but of course, the merchants were targeting poor panhandlers, because they don't like the look of the poor panhandlers. So this kind of was the opposite of what happened that day. We came down and we did a kind of a counter real change, not spare change program. Their real change, not change, of course, was no change at all. The change they wanted was a change for cruelty, a change in favor of this fantasy that, you know, people aren't really poor, they choose to be poor, or you know, all you got down there are bums and drug users and alcohol abusers. And of course, you have some of that, but I was glad to see you giving away change, not.
Well, thank you. Actually, I just this week met with the attorney who was involved in the Real Change, Not Spare Change.
Shania Kelly, perhaps.
Yes, that's who she is.
Thank you.
And she's actually a good friend of mine, and I can't say that I'm against what she was doing. I think that they were really trying to make a difference. That their heart, to a certain extent, was in the right place. I think that maybe their motivation was not necessarily to help people so much as it was to protect the merchants, although I do think that their message was mixed and that their motivations were mixed and that they did have some sincere desire to help people. I'm not against what they were doing, and when I was talking to her, she thought it was ironic that here I was. And I'll tell you on a quick aside, Janae and I, I also am an attorney, and Janae and I at one time shared office space together. She thought it was kind of ironic that I was downtown doing exactly the opposite of what she was doing. But nevertheless, what I was doing was, I think, a lot more direct. And I know that there are people out there that feel that giving money to the homeless or giving money to people who are downtown does not help them. But I think that a program that says, no, we're not going to give you the money that you're asking for, and quite frankly, that's their choice not to give money. But I think that the program is slightly judgmental, that they have an agenda that I don't necessarily support. I think, like I said when I first came in here, if somebody decides that they're going to take the money and go and buy alcohol, you know, so be it. That's, like I said, I spend some of my money buying alcohol, and nobody really judges me when I go into a bar and order a glass of wine. I'm not going to judge somebody who's on the street if they want to go and buy alcohol. Quite frankly, that's not my business. If I want to give them money so they can do that, you know, more power to them.
Well, and of course, what you say is interesting, because it brings up the point that homeless people, when they try to drink, don't have the normal adult prerogatives that you and I, those of us who have houses or have rooms to go to, have. If you try to drink a bottle of beer in a public place anywhere in this town, it's called a violation of the open container law.
That's right.
So if you take it to your campsite and you try to drink it in your campsite, it's a violation of the open container law. And this is a form of infantilizing and criminalizing poor people for doing what the rest of us do, and also, of course, scapegoating them. They become the scapegoats. It's not us who are the drunkards who, you know, chug-a-lug it in our private places. It's the people who, you know, are hoisting a, you know,
a can on the corner because they can't afford to go into a cafe or use the trendy little shops with the little places where you can sit on the sidewalk and take up what were public spaces and have become semi-private spaces in terms of these sidewalk cafes.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, you better get closer to the mic.
I apologize.
That's okay. Now I'm going to play a little bit from my take on what happened yesterday. And I'm at any point, if you want to interrupt Eric and comments or thoughts, please do so. I'm going to give the listeners a kind of a sense of what was going on yesterday, at least from my tape recorder's ear view.
Corner where the spare change is on, and looks like we missed him. It came and went. Although, no, it looks like he's trying to give away. Yes, he is. He's trying to give away spare change.
Spare change.
What's going on here?
Well, we're giving away spare change in downtown.
Are you crazy?
We might be.
Well, so the two, here you are giving away money. Don't you realize that this is simply a way of attracting poor, aimless individuals to a town that's otherwise
Pardon me? I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I don't want to stop you. I see that your hands are full, so to speak.
Yeah, my hands are full of spare change.
I've
got so much of it, I can't seem to get it. Hi, can I offer you some spare change?
So we have at least three individuals giving away spare change at a table covered with coins, and there's folks literally giving away spare change. Look at this. The man is getting handfuls of spare change. Wow, I bet you the first time you've seen this happen. Now, I'm not responsible for this. These people are doing this.
Who are you?
It's all his idea.
Really? It's all your idea?
Hi, did you need
Who are you?
My name's Eric.
Oh, thank you.
I'm giving away spare change.
Eric?
Yes?
You're not related to the people that own McDonald's, are you?
No.
They helped us out the flood for you.
I don't have anybody in the chain.
So it's right here in front of the Pacific Wave Surf building, and apparently not connected with that business. This is, how much money did you start out with today?
I don't know, you'll have to ask the authorized representative.
Eric, how much change are we actually, has been given away so far?
I don't know how much is given away. We started out with several hundred dollars worth of spare change, though. We're having a hard time giving it away, to tell you the truth.
How long have you been trying to give it away?
Well, we got here around noon, and it's probably about a quarter after to half an hour after.
I can't accept this. We're going to try to give you more spare change you're giving away.
No,
let's donate some spare change, folks, to these people so they can give away more spare change. Certainly is a change here in Santa Cruz. Wow. So you've been out here for about 15 minutes?
Roughly.
About 12:15 now. And you've actually advertised this event in the Sentinel and in the Good Times. Three people are avoiding it. They just don't want the money. You know, if you were giving away spare dollar bills, you might be more successful, I think. Why don't you, how about fives and tens? Is that a possibility?
Fives and tens would be a little rough.
I see. Well, can I give away some of this money as well?
You're welcome to help us give away some spare cash.
We're trying to give away money here, folks. Don't
okay.
you? All right, now pass this on to people as you go down.
Oh, my God, I was just kidding.
See, now, people are just...
I was just kidding.
It's okay. No, I'm glad you stopped by here. She gave some, and then she gave it back. I'm not quite sure what that means. This is Santa Cruz, the city where it is illegal to ask for a dime from a seated position. It's interesting that folks here are not only refusing to give away spare change, they're unwilling to accept spare change.
Now, we can give it to
somebody.
Spare change.
You're right.
What would I do with spare change?
You could give it on to other people. Well, you could pass it along to the people on the streets looking for it, you know. Wouldn't you think? I mean, I've noticed them. People, they complain about panhandlers on Pacific Avenue. So here's an opportunity to give them a little something as they walk by. So that's what I think this is about. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Very clever.
It's this man. It's his fault. Blame him. He did it.
No obligation
to
spare change.
He decided he was going to just give away spare
change. Somebody will get that.
Sort of turn the tables around.
There you go.
It is. I think it's a great idea. Of course, it requires the investment. A couple hundred bucks, apparently. They've got $100 worth of change, a couple hundred bucks, and giving it away. So it's great. Now, wait a minute. It looks like people are beginning to flock to the spare change table. It's could this be the spirit of Christmas? No, Christmas is buying commercial goods. No, go buy in the stores, folks. Don't pick up spare change here. This is a mistake. The spirit of Christmas is to buy. Well, I can't convince anybody today. It's sad.
Pretty strange, but it's interesting.
I agree.
Giving it away, huh?
Subversives are giving away spare change here, folks. Stop them. Somebody call the police. These people are giving away money. This is not in accord with the American spirit. It is. We should be buying money, throwing money into the shops for their very important items here. Not giving away money to these homeless people. No, come on. Yeah. It's Christmas? People are trying to subvert what's going on here, folks, by giving away money. Now, this is the take economy. Take, take, take. It does look kind of a low turnout. I think people are kind of entrenched with their own preconceptions, it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's interesting watching people sort of, more interesting watching people reject it. And they're insulted by it.
Have you seen a variety of responses, or is there pretty much a similar response?
Well, there's a variety. I mean, there's people that are just surprised. You know, nobody expects anybody to offer them spare change, for example. Spare change, can I offer you some?
Yeah, don't talk to me. I'm walking along here.
Can I offer you some spare change? Thank you.
Give it away. Give it away.
How about you, sir? Can I offer you some spare change? Just no obligation, just spare change.
I think people don't want to contact other people, and so if they take the money, they feel like they have to pass
it on. Obligated to.
Right.
To
and they prefer, yeah. It's amazing.
Can I give you some spare change?
Oh, well, maybe next week. You got it. Pause for a moment in your shopping and take some money with you. Here, this.
Man.
They're just giving away money, man. These people are crazy. What can we do? Spare change. What's wrong with these people?
This is for decent people down here.
Spare change.
So again, this is a table covered with what looks like 10 or 20 sheets of paper. It says spare change in large letters, and a large bowl in the center with a diminishing amount of spare change here. You, sir, have you been the recipient of this? Have you gotten some spare change?
Yes, I got some spare change.
What did you think of this?
What do I think of this? I think it's very nice. I think it's very nice of the I don't know if it's the city or the county that's donating all this.
It's individuals.
Is it really?
Yeah, these
people. This is very nice. I'd like to thank the public for it very much.
Well, thank
you. Merry
Christmas
and Happy New Year's and enjoy your family.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. It looks like the pace of the change of receiving is picking up. This is great. Spare change is available here, folks. Come and get it. People will not be fooled. There must be a gimmick here, right? They wouldn't give away money for nothing. That's for sure. Spend your money instead in the high-priced gimmick shops. How about a couple of tourist traps, folks? And a man with two children is being offered spare change, but they're looking nervous and they don't want to accept. I think it has to do with people being afraid of each other down here. But the spare change is being given away. In spite of all the best intentions of the citizenry to resist these appeals to their greed. We know America does not run on greed. That's it. These people don't want to be greedy. That's why they're not accepting it.
They're showing you.
No, come on now.
They just don't want to be overtly greedy.
They just don't want to be greedy small time, I guess, is the answer. These people don't want spare change. They want spare dollars. But there is spare change available. Grab some spare change. Come on. Stick in your hand. Have some change. It's available. Spare change. Spare change. Here you go.
That's all you got.
All right, and there's more over here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Spare change. Come and get it. Spare change. Take some change. Grab some money. You can let that change rot on the sidewalk. Grab that change. Yeah, there's more here, too. Come and get that spare change, folks. Is Christmas about giving or is it about shopping? I guess to ask the question is to answer it, isn't it, folks? So it looks like the spare change is reaching the bottom of the barrel. And there's lots of pennies on the sidewalk. Grab some spare change while it lasts.
What are you guys?
I think these people are just crazy. I personally think that...
I want to know what's the purpose. Turning off the dresser.
It's completely meaningless. It's a random event. It's crazy, man. I think what they're trying to say is... It is Christmas. It's 9 days before. Who knows what they're trying to say?
You can just get some random pictures. Spare change.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody else, you kind of look at them and you give them the cold look and you say no and you walk on by. And I don't know if I was with somebody or somebody else and they said, you know, you're only going to spend it to buy alcohol. And I was like, well, what am I going to spend it for? I'm just going to spend it to buy alcohol too. So who am I to say that, you know, it's okay for me to spend money buying alcohol, but it's not okay for somebody else?
So I thought,
So I thought, you know what? What if we just gave away spare change? You know, it would, on one hand, it would make people, you know, people wouldn't understand. It, you know, it shocks their world. They're walking down, you're used to having people asking for change. You try to offer them some change, and they're just like, what's the catch? And, you know, here it is Christmas. It's arguably the season of giving, and instead what we have people is everybody's downtown shopping. Shopping, you know, presumably for gifts, but I think that if you were to think of how important you think that these gifts are to somebody else, and then think back to last year for Christmas. Can you remember anything that you got for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, a few things, but quite honestly, you know, people spend a lot of time buying these gifts that really, they just kind of fade into the past. They don't really matter.
Our family doesn't really go overboard.
That's good.
So.
Me neither.
I think people, rather than just actually giving, you know, just giving, just pure giving, they're, you know, they have to shop instead. And so the people who benefit that are not the people that you're giving gifts to, because they have to give a gift back to you. It's
right.
Just, you know, who benefits? You know, the Gap benefits, because they process every single transaction. So we're just giving it straight away.
What was the deal with this deal?
It's a great idea. He's explaining it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so we thought actually that people who were homeless and needy would be down here knowing that there was money for them.
I actually thought that as well. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I tried to tell people it was going to be on this side of the mall. But it didn't get into any of the papers. It was going to be here.
No, we didn't know where.
And, you know, I assume that, you know, people would sort of tell and there'd be people gathering around. But really, there's like maybe...
See, when I saw you, I just thought you were setting up your table. I didn't realize this was where it was happening. So we're still driving, right? So, anyway.
Well.
That's okay.
So now you're just going to have to give away your money independently, Roxanne.
You do anyway.
No, I don't need any.
So Roxanne has brought quarters. This man, you were just wondering why this was all happening, right?
What's that? I was wondering what the deal was, you know, why this guy's giving away all this change. And
I have spare change. I mean, by definition, it's spare. It's spare change. I don't need it, and so I'm giving it away.
Do you have a card or anything?
Good enough.
I have no agenda. You know. I have nothing to push. I'm not trying to sell you anything or make you vote for me or anything like that.
I think there must be something.
There was a significance.
Cool.
There was a significance.
There is.
You know?
Giving.
It wasn't, yeah.
And it's also to sort of make people realize that they're walking down the street and, you know, they're not used to being approached by people offering them spare change. And it's fascinating to see people's reactions. That's for sure.
I find the whole thing shocking.
Yeah, and so did a lot of other people. You offer them change and they back away.
It's different when it's money. Like if it's food or something like that, it's not... But when it's money...
It's just money.
Money is sacred. You don't offer money on the street.
Well, as I said, we thought it was for people that were really in need. So when you threw money in my car, I'm like, what are you doing? We came down here to give money.
Well, it's for a lot of things. I mean, really, there were some people who really did need some money, and we gladly gave them handfuls of it. You know, and at the same time, we also wanted to approach people who obviously didn't need money. And obviously, we knew they were going to be insulted by it, but we wanted to approach them and sort of shock their world a little bit. You know, make them aware that there's people here, maybe they ought to, in turn, give away some money.
Well, if you have spare change that you still want to get rid of, there's a lady up here with a 12-day-old baby that is playing music.
She should have come down here.
Well,
bring this to her. Oh, you have some for her.
I'm just telling you, as you walk to your car, if you...
Oh, I'm parked over here. Maybe. She's right around the corner?
She's just straight up.
Oh, well, I'll just give her some money right now.
Playing a guitar and pass the first set of musicians. And they have a 12-day-old baby.
It's about 15-1. We have Roxanne Akistapacha here on the sidewalk. Roxanne, you saw Tim Fitzmaurice, the mayor, recently with Second Harvest.
Well, I saw him as a front man for Second Harvest, filling a bus full of free food that people give out of the goodness of their hearts during the holiday season. And I don't think, as usual, he didn't do his homework and know exactly how Second Harvest works. But that food is sold to the charities who have to raise money to buy the food at between 15 and 30 cents a pound. I don't know what the price is now. And then they turn around and give it away out of the goodness of their hearts. All the statistics that you hear, Second Harvest, all of the statistics that you hear, Second Harvest Food Bank giving, all the people that they feed are actually the statistics of the charities that buy food from them. If you want to buy food from Second Harvest, then you have to provide your statistics as their own. And they give them out saying, oh, we fed 40,000 people last Christmas. But really, all the charities in town did it. if you give your food directly to the charities and cut out the middleman, it would be very nice for them, I'm sure.
Or even give it to the homeless directly might even cut out the charity.
Yes. Well, the charities feed all different kinds of people, not just the homeless. But, yeah, I think you're right. You know, kind of makes me sad. I think Second Harvest is a big racket. It was set up by the grocery stores themselves. It's actually a corporate venture, so they get full credit
tax credit for their old food that they give to Second Harvest. So in the past, charities have had to pay as much per pound for a turkey as they would have to pay, or more, as they would have to pay retail for a turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas. So you got to ask yourself what the deal is. It's a big racket.
Well, then I was glad that I stood before the Second Harvest food pickup when Tim Fitzmaurice was fronting for it and held a sleeping band sign behind him. Only wish I wasn't, hadn't been a little more outspoken, saying, what about the sleeping band, you turkeys, or whatever.
Well, as usually, Tim Fitzmaurice has his money on the wrong horse. It's habitual. I've noticed you're going into my money,
I don't
sir.
Have any
Where's your
at the moment.
Oh, isn't that always well, your excuse? Do you need some money?
And that was a half hour, more or less, of spare change giving on the street. On the line, we do have a caller, and I guess you can go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm the caller formerly known as the Spare Change Bandit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I got a few views about spare change and some of the things I've seen that are very hypocritical. Let me know if you can relate to these. In some way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched the World Outreach programs and the World Dream?
Are you talking to Eric? Would you like to talk to our guest on
this? Yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
Eric, yeah.
The answer to that's no.
The what?
No, I have not.
They're basically like... I can hardly hear you back there.
Oh, I apologize.
Okay, they're basically half-hour programs on one of the bigger networks, TV networks. And they get these half-hour blocks. Remember what Suzanne Struthers used to do?
I do remember her.
Yeah, before she was actually kicked off because they found out that she didn't actually sponsor a child.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Really?
So that's what they do, in essence, is panhandle. And they're not even ashamed to say, you know, it's 27 cents a day. You know? And people don't catch the magnitude of that.
Well, I think one of the reasons we were out the other day is, you know, this is not necessarily a political organization. We're not anarchists. We're just, in some ways, we're just artists. We're troublemakers, maybe. But one thing for sure is when you give money to a large charity, a lot of the money just gets eaten up in overhead and charity marketing and hiring these celebrity spokespeople. We want to just go down and say, listen, if we're going to give away $300, we want $300 to go right into the pockets of the people who we give it to, you know, not into not to a middleman.
You said it so well. That's you got a solid missionary statement. That's what makes you that's what makes you believable. You know, that's what puts you.
What makes him believable is he was out there yesterday giving away.
There. Oh yeah, definitely.
Nickels, dimes, and quarters. Yeah.
You put your money where their hand was, and that's very respectable.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, because I've used that because I've panhandled before, and I've used that line after somebody. My whole policy was is a panhandle. I usually perform though. I usually had a skit or a you know, more than just a line, a little something creative, and. My policy was that after somebody handed me a wad of bills, singles or what.
How often did you get a wad of bills? Come on.
I've actually had people give me $7 in singles.
Wow.
That's I've had people when I was selling signs in Berkeley, panhandling signs. I sold a sign for $25.
That's incredible.
And it blew me away, and it showed me that it. There is a street corner performance to it, you know. If I have the right deck of cards, I can work a routine with it at a moment's notice. And it's every now and again somebody has a bad day, and they stagger to that spot and they hit it, and they're there until they feel the confidence to get up and move on. And that scale is, unfortunately, just like society pushes on us. Is your income, and it's spare change, in essence, making an individual lighter day to day.
It's also true, I think, you know, spare change bandit that or former spare change bandit that there's, you know, people talk about liquor and drugs and stuff, and I think Eric's point is well taken that hey, so what? You know, everybody does that. That's what people do. And, you know, if you're going to give it away, you give it away. And if you don't, you don't. Right. But it's also true that, you know, little amounts of money can be very important to people who are outside. It can even be a life-saving situation.
27 cents a day, Robert.
A cup of coffee, man. You go inside, you can actually sit there for an hour in a warm place instead of getting frozen in the beach flats like Boxer Billy did.
27 cents a day could put a CHP officer in front of a nice, warm
That's the
DiCenzo
cartoon.
Soup.
I remember it. That was a great cartoon this
he
week in
Metro. He finally did one right, huh?
Yeah, he's got a couple of them right. He's done some good ones, but of course there's some people he really hates, including homeless people generally, so that's too bad. We're talking, of course, for other listeners about the DiCenzo cartoon in this week's Metro Santa Cruz.
Maybe we can call that article A Ray of Hope, not...
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty much the same old thing, but he comes up with some good stuff when he does cartoons about Scott Kennedy and the Scott Kennedy's mania for redevelopment and his political aspirations. I think it's great.
Okay, so one final question so we don't get too off the far... I'll take this question answer off the air. Is does your guest Aaron, I believe it was
Eric?
Eric, do you plan on doing any actions in the near future? I heard Robert say something about next week.
Next year.
Well, I'm hoping to do the exact same thing next year, and I actually had I had considered briefly doing it in the summer when the weather's nicer downtown. But I think it makes more of an impact when you do it during the Christmas shopping season. There's certainly a lot more people downtown. You get a bigger result, and you make people think a little bit more carefully. At least I hope that it makes them pause and think about what they're doing downtown shopping.
Eric, you also have another profession. Do you want to reveal that to our audience, or should we keep that a closely guarded secret?
Well, you ratted me out. I am I'm hesitant to admit that I also am an attorney.
So he really has been condemned by the Lord Jehovah one day a year to give away spare change to make up for all the sins of the rest of the year, right?
Well, like you were mentioning when we were off the air, this, you know, maybe this is a little bit of penance. I don't really see it that way. I was doing it because I thought that I could have fun doing it. And I certainly did have fun. I had some friends who came down. They had fun as well. And on one hand, I think that maybe some people might look at that as being a little bit arrogant, and maybe even a little bit acting as though it is something, you know, an act of sort of the spoiled, privileged people. You know, here you are making fun of people, maybe giving away spare change. But quite frankly, we did it because it was a fun thing to do. It was a thing that made a lot of people stop in their tracks when they were walking downtown. It made them think about what they're doing. And I think that doing it during Christmas is an important point because arguably Christmas is the season of giving, and I didn't see anybody else downtown giving.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it recalls to mind a couple of other things, like the Abby Hoffman's throwing dollar bills into the stock exchange and having people run after them, which was really more of a statement about capitalism. And it's also true that people can do this to help poor people, and that's a statement about, you know, need in our country. Or you might do it in terms of the downtown ordinances, which make it illegal to peacefully ask for spare change from a seated position or a group of three. But you did it, I think, sort of for your own particular, both for the joy of doing it and also to kind of blow people's minds as a sort of a performance piece.
Well, right, that's right. And, you know, there was a lot of things that it could mean. I mean, there was three of us doing it. We had friends who came down to watch, and I think that it meant something a little bit different to each person who was giving away the money. They were doing it for different reasons. For me, I'll tell you, honestly, the biggest reason I was doing it was for the fun of it and for the impact. And if if that sounds spoiled or self-serving, so what?
You're just a spoiled brat, Eric. Caller, what do you think?
As of the numerous...
It's the same caller. Hey, caller.
I'm pulling a Silva.
Uh-huh.
And as you watch the reactions of the people, being an attorney, I know you guys have a strong thing about that, or supposed to, anyways.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
You recognize people's reactions as you offer them change. Did you get any reactions of, do I look like I need spare change?
Oh, absolutely. We had people who were shopping, and they took a look at it. They took it they took it as an insult. They said, you know, hey, do I look like I need spare change? And, you know, no, of course you don't. But that's why I approached you, because I wanted to see what you would do.
And boing, it all goes to... It all goes to seat on them. The whole etiquette question, the whole moral question, the whole wingnut question, it all comes out to them.
Right. Some people just thought, oh, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We were thinking of calling 5150 in on, but I couldn't find the spare change for a phone. You know.
Well, Well, that was just a quick side glance there.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
So, any more thoughts on this issue, Eric? Have you learned anything you didn't know before?
Have I learned anything I didn't know before? I'll tell you, there was two things that I was afraid of when we were planning this. One was that we'd have no impact at all and people would completely ignore us. The other was that we would be swamped by people, that the money would be gone, and that our table would be stolen out from under us by a tidal wave of people. And what I learned is that neither one of those things is going to happen, that people do care at least enough, or at least they're aware enough that they noticed that we were out there, but on the other hand, they're not so rude that we got swamped by what people thought was going to be a wave of homeless skater punks coming to take all our money away.
Hi, caller. You're
hi,
on the air.
I'm so glad to hear your guest on your show today. I've been reading the little press releases and blurbs on this spare change thing, and I was so encouraged to reveal yet another crime against the homeless, the criminalization of the homeless, and what they have to do to resort to survive. It's an interesting experiment. I'm glad that, we need to conduct experiments out in public and out in the open, and we need to all look at when we do set up these kind of things, look at the results, and I'm really glad. The man's a great spirit. What's the man's name?
My name is Eric, and you know what?
Eric, congratulations, Eric. I think you've done a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much. I think that one thing that you just said is really key, is that it was an experiment.
Yeah.
And
we need to do more experiments, these experiments are sometimes quite revelatory. I think yours is probably one of the more revelatory, especially at Christmas time. I wanted to call the public's attention to something that's happening, December 21st, which is, as you all know, is the longest night of the year. It's the memorial for the homeless that have died in Santa Cruz. It looks like we'll have not only a list for the homeless that have died this year, but now we found the list of the homeless that died last year. And that's going to be at 115 Coral Street. That's December 21st, is Thursday. And it's at 10 a.m. So if you're a working class person, try to get off, for a coffee break and just come by at 10 a.m. Pay our respect to our fallen comrades. This is a homeless community. It's a community that's particularly under attack, not only by skinheads, but, by police officers, under attack by our laws. We have laws that can be classified as nothing but institutional hate crimes. A law that says it's a crime to cover up with a blanket between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m., or to cover your child up with a blanket, is an institutional hate crime recognized by any international convention who would recognize that as a hate crime. We need to come together. We will have the campaign in the sleeping band. We'll have lists and lists and lists. We've matched the thousands of signatures that have signed the petitions in the past to the voter reg log, and we have phone numbers. So we have thousands of lists of phone numbers, and we need donations for the other half of the list that don't have phone numbers to send postcards, so they can start putting the pressure on the city council now to repeal the sleeping ban and the blanket ban. Thanks for the free commercial.
Hey, David, it wasn't a commercial. It was a public service announcement.
Public service announcement. Mm-hmm. But really, this would be a very good time for people to try to show the support for the homeless community. Just come and bow our heads together and remember our fallen comrades.
There's also, I believe, an event coming up for the Green Party that might be an opportunity for those who are not entirely happy with Green Party member and Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice's sleeping band stall, I call it, because that's what he's doing. And that's happening, I think you were telling me, on Tuesday night at 5:30?
There's a fundraiser to get the Green Party out of the red. There was a lot of silly panic moves of not going to the cheapest printers and stuff like that at the last minute that resulted in us going over budget, even though, a lot of us tried to work hard to set up the appointments for the proper printers, and we had appointments ready. But a lot of panicky people, how campaigns get.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some extraordinary expenses. But Tim Fitzmaurice is going to be next after Medea Benjamin is going to be one of the featured speakers, and I know Medea understands sleeping ban laws very well. It might not be a bad idea to talk to Medea and have her talk to Tim.
Or maybe talk to Tim directly.
As far as public humiliation goes, that's more your area, Robert. I'll let you go ahead and handle that.
Oh, thank you, David. I think Tim does a good job of humiliating himself. But
unfortunately, that seems to be the case lately. I've defended Tim over and over and over and over again. and I've just about reached the end of my tether when his inauguration speech was a throwing down of the gauntlet against demonstrators, but he can't throw down the gauntlet against police who go out and do disinformation campaigns and sabotage items that are in between votes on the city council agenda. Excuse me, there has to be some balance, and this man seems to be lacking balance right now. He got scorched by his experience last summer trying to create the safe sleeping zones. Well, I'm very, very sorry. You know, apply some ointment to the scorch, but do not punish the homeless for what the police did. Do not punish the homeless for what demonstrators do. Do not punish the homeless just because you're a coward. Do not punish the homeless The only thing that's going to stop it is if the thousands of people that we got to sign this petition start writing in letters and start calling in. You know the number, 420-5017. Let them know what you think of sleep deprivation as a form of torture.
Thank you, David.
And also write letters now. We need to start writing letters to all of us. Start writing letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
We need to put this on the front burner because our politicians who promised it would be are not.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Bye-bye. And the phone number to call to, even as we speak, let the city council know that while it is sitting around chowing down on Christmas turkey, other folks out there have to worry about a legal place to sleep at night, $54 tickets, and beatings because the city council and Tim Fitzmaurice, who bears the primary responsibility here since he has the majority, I will also hold Crone responsible since he's the vice mayor. They have the votes. They had 3 votes last summer for the safe sleeping zones. All they need is 1 more, and if any of them brought it up, they would get it. But they won't bring it up. And they won't bring it up until you out there, listeners, make them bring it up. 420-5017. While I've got an attorney on the hot seat here. And Eric didn't come here as an attorney. He came here as an artist, really, as an individual giving away spare change. Have you had any thoughts about the sleeping ban yourself? Have you thought, well, you know, I guess we need to keep these unruly homeless people in line, or gosh, it's a shame, or what kind of a crime is this? What has your thought been?
Well, honestly, I have to say that's not my issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's odd that we have a law that makes it illegal to sleep on the streets.
Or in any buildings that are not domiciles.
Right, and I think that the true way the law is enforced is that it's selectively enforced, and that if I were to, for some reason, fall asleep in my car, I doubt that I would be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I'm not an activist. I appreciate the issues that are involved there, and I think that what we were doing was hopefully making people think about those types of issues.
Well, you were an activist yesterday, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you'd call it an activist. I suppose I was in action,
yes,
in some
sir.
Sense. But
you were doing. You weren't just talking or writing.
That's true. We were out there doing, but we were doing that with no preset agenda, really. We weren't trying to make any one specific point. I think that people took from it whatever they chose to, and some people went away praising us, and that's great. Some people went away probably thinking we were doing the wrong thing, and if that's the decision that they came to after seeing us in action, so be it. And as to the sleeping ban, I find it highly questionable. You know, I wonder whether it's necessary. I suspect that it's probably more than anything else just mean-spiritedness on the behalf of society towards people that they find unpleasant. But like I said, it isn't my issue, I can't really comment much more than that. I think my main feeling is that I think it's just, like I said, mean-spirited.
If you find any wandering civil rights attorneys, it's exactly what we need at this time. And I know that you were telling me you had an office downtown for a while, and now you're going to do some work as an instructor in Monterey on corporate law. Is that right?
Well, I am. I've recently taken a job as a corporate attorney in town For what I do here downtown, obviously, you know, it has nothing to do with my employment or
we anything. Intend to call your corporate bosses and make sure they know exactly what you're up to there.
Finger me out in the face of my peers.
Snitch you out, boy. Yeah. Well, I it's interesting. To me, it's part of the contradictions. Although, as you said, your main objective was not to dramatize the plight of homeless people or the hypocrisy of society, but I think you were simply kind of, as you and David said, trying an experiment, and
Well, I'll tell you, I think it did dramatize those things. I hope it did make people think about it. I wasn't trying to make them think any particular thing about it, though, and they can take from it what they will.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, in case you've forgotten, 96.3 FM, and I'm Bathrop Speer, Robert Norris. In the studio with me is Eric Pesek.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric, or Mr. Pesek, if you will, or Counselor Pesek, if you will.
Well, Eric is just fine.
Eric is good.
That's right.
And you have an opportunity to call in and talk to either of us at 427-3772 if you want to catch the voicemail, like if you have a demo tape or a news item, public service announcement, who knows, a donation of spare change, 427-4523. Address, P.O. Box 7507 Santa Cruz, 95061. The webpage is www.microradio.net/FRSC. And any of these various numbers and addresses you can get by calling the voicemail, 427-4523. It will all be revealed to you. On the other hand, if you're interested more in civil rights for homeless issues or possibly getting rid of the laws that prohibit people for asking for spare change, then you might want to get in touch with HUF. That's my group, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and that's at 423-HUF, 423-4833. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, it's David Silva again. I seem to have some breath. As you know, I'm recovering from pneumonia, so bear with me if I lose it, but I got forwarded to me some reports on how the homeless were treated in November by the bureaucracy of the city. The monthly camping incident and homeless shelter attendance reports, interfaith satellite program service report, and the armory report, and the downtown host report, and the and the Parks and Recreation report on cleanup of illegal campsites. Mm-hmm. There's some interesting things that should be pointed out. Excuse me. This is mostly talking about November, not so much about December.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they don't have any stats on the number of encounters with Parks and Recs rangers with the homeless. Only the police department. And anybody that's been out there on the street talking to people lately, it's the Parks and Recs that's been really hammering down. Except I did not realize that the police department did a nice hefty job of what they call 76 service calls.
Are you sure about that, David? Because
I have the fact. I have the report from the Santa Cruz Police Department right here.
When I looked at it, was probably the same report in the city council offices, mm-hmm. and I requested information of Martine, I was told this would include both Parks and Rec and SCPD, but
well,
you could be wrong.
What it includes from the Parks and Rec is that they had not the number of encounters, but mm-hmm. instead just that they cleaned up the number of campsites. Mm-hmm. They cleaned up it doesn't even say the number of campsites. It just says that in November 27th, during the week of November 27th, over 40 cubic yards of abandoned campsite debris was the things that might thought it to be of value they have tagged and stored.
Mm-hmm.
Might thought to be of value, okay. What someone considers valuable, another person considers a personal memorabilia is
mm-hmm.
quite something else. It's those personal memorabilia that sometimes break our heart when we lose them.
That's right.
So I don't know what they threw away, but there's some 76 police calls in the central area. 20 calls resulted in 16 citations. In the west side,
these are camping citations.
Yeah.
Huh.
In the west side, 29 calls resulted in 3 citations, in the east side, 18 calls resulted in no citations. So it's quite clear, two things can be drawn from that, two inferences. In the central area, it could perhaps be said that, well, that figure says that the people that hang out in the central downtown area are more likely to be drunk and so forth, that something needs to be done about them, so they use the sleeping van to do it. Or it could be said that businesses are being protected, but residences are not. If they're actually enforcing the sleeping ban to protect people,
mm-hmm.
That they don't give a damn about the residents and the neighborhood associations, and the neighborhood associations should take a look at this,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what these numbers reflect. There's some 19 citations out of the 76, no, 20 citations out of the 76 calls.
Mm-hmm.
I consider those 76 calls take that, the 20 citations, that means that some 56 of them were roustings that were formally logged. I know there's probably a lot of roustings that are not formally logged, because I know that the story you hear from homeless people over and over is once they find out you're sleeping homeless, you get awakened about every 2 hours, because they've got your license number, they know you're a homeless person, and they're going to roust you every 2 hours. Which is probably why when Howard Zinn was in town, he said, you know, the, what I would do for this is those people that enforce such laws, I would disturb their sleep. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's interesting on the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, tell me if I'm boring, Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, they had a projected service that they wanted a contract for 2,704 what they call person shelter days. Of course, they needed about 7,300, that's the minimum number, or maybe 9,000 personal service days, but they only were aiming for 2,704. They only accomplished 2,037, so they only reached 75% of their goal. But if you look at the armory opened in the 15th of November, and it went from 38 on the first day to 61 on the last day. If they had opened the armory on the 1st of November, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program would have way exceeded its contracted goal period. So it's interesting that even what they're, the 25% of the people that they're trying to give some kind of shelter to in churches and armories and so forth like that, of the known homeless, this is not counting couch surfers that any given night could be out in the street, mm-hmm. that they are just barely servicing. And it's all written as if they're bragging about what such great accomplishments they've met. It's unfortunate they have to take that kind of tone. And then the host program, of course, usually has a lot to do with the youth. Most of the host program is basically you can see bikes on the sidewalk and stuff like that is the thing that mostly gets attacked. But then as far as the parks and recreation, there's no numbers, no nothing. All they did was brag about the number of campsites and number of amount of property that they've absconded and destroyed that belonged to homeless people that had no place to store it. And
I think they
need to start making reports the same as the police department.
I'd like to see some of these department heads replaced. We've been looking for this for years, to see Jim Lang and Seal Cirillo and Dick Wilson and all these folks.
I might add that the citizens, as long as we have these laws in place and they are known throughout the world as being human rights violations, it's not the homeless that are criminalized by these laws. We, as citizens of Santa Cruz, are the criminals. So I think it is incumbent upon us not only to call the 420-5017 number that gives a message to all the city council members. I think we need to call the head of the Parks and Recreation. We need to sit in there and ask for appointments for the head of Parks and Recreation. We need to call the chief of police. We need to ask him why, how can you enforce such laws? You know, what is the matter with you? Even Nuremberg told you you're supposed to ignore this kind of activity. We need to also go after every city official who mm-hmm. deals with this law in one way or another.
Well, of course, we are doing the City Council Coffee Clatch and Tag Team Teach-In next week.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Which is, in case people don't know, I'll just briefly say this, David, is a situation where every day at 10 o'clock we present hot coffee and hot pastries, compliments of two shops in town apparently who don't quite agree with the sleeping ban, or at least are willing to support this protest. And then we offer that to anybody who wants to come. And then if you want to stay, you sit in the offices of the City Council, which is at room 10 in the City Council complex every day, for an hour if you want, with a book and a sign that says End the Sleeping Ban. And we look to get an appointment with a City Council member to get them to, well, we're hoping for a special session to end the sleeping ban, but of course there's the January 9th regular session of City Council, which comes up in the second Tuesday in January. Our reaction from Tim Fitzmaurice has been on Friday that he is now attempting to criminalize us and drive us out of there by preparing for an injunction against us by claiming that we are harassing him, claiming that we are talking at the top of our voices, other allegations which, if you listen to the tapes, when we're making tapes now, you'll find are not true. So
yeah, I'm sure they're not true. It's strange that, you know, people that are veterans of demonstrations in the 60s and so forth are in power now and don't seem to be able to understand, how important for civil, expression of protest must be allowed to repress civil expression of protest against human rights violations because you're made to feel uncomfortable. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Tim said that he's probably going to be a one-term candidate, so I let's hold him to that. Keith said he's probably going to be a one-term candidate, so let's hold him to that, because they all, these two people obviously can't stand the heat. They need to get out of office. Nothing I would like to say. I'm glad that you're doing this this tag team sit-in. So all the people that we called, and we've called hundreds and hundreds of people to tell them about the rolling fast. You know, and the rolling fast for December is you stay up, you pick one night, stay up all night, and then call at 8:30 in the morning at a city council person's home or at their office and tell them what you think of sleep deprivation. It's a thing. It's the basic principle of you have to of doing some self-sacrifice and. As if the homeless, you know, along with the homeless, before protesting, and it's a good principle to try to do it. If you can't stay awake all night, call them at 8:30 in the morning and tell them you were unable to, and that you still think sleep deprivation is a pretty rotten thing. So if you want to join the Rolling Fast, call 429-5284. We have, again, like last year, a progressive fast starting January 1st, but it requires special training. I'm asking now, if you're thinking of fasting at all, please be already phasing coffee and caffeine and all that stuff out of your system, because you can't do a successful fast without getting rid of the toxins out of your system. Eventually, you're going to have to get rid of dairy products as well. We had some 280 people that participated in the rolling fast last year, and 19 people that were on full fast in May when they called us in negotiations and basically lied to us and betrayed us. So those of us that we called to remind about the rolling fast, if we failed to tell you about the tag team needing relief and you're listening to this program, do call Bernard Klitzner, and you have that number, Robert, and mm-hmm. sign up to help give them some relief, too, because we need to push on all fronts. And call every city official and ask them, what the hell are you doing with this institutional hate crime, and why are you enforcing it now more than we've seen in a long time? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And that was David Silva calling in. He and others helped to organize two initiatives which got thousands of registered city voters urging the sleeping ban be ended. Not quite enough to put it on the ballot. He fasted himself along with, as he's pointed out, scores of other people to get the city council's attention, regularly appeared at city council speaking, was hauled away illegally, and is now suing the city for false arrest for an incident that happened June 13th, one of Keith Sugar's many violations of the Brown Act, in my view, and not to mention basic right to assembly, First Amendment rights. It's interesting. The struggle against a sleeping ban not only impacts every night, of course, homeless people's rights are regularly and institutionally denied, the right to sleep. If you can't sleep, it's not only is it a denial of a right, it's a form of torture, obviously, under the Geneva Conventions. But those who try to protest to in legitimate ways, and even in completely legal ways, not to say nonviolent ways, are finding themselves, and of course perhaps this is a natural thing, but it's wrong, attacked by city officials and driven out of the public arena. So what happened to us on Friday, and we're going to play that tape soon, I'm going to have to kind of cue it up and get that going, but for those of you who are patient, it should be played sometime in the next hour. You will hear Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice directing the secretaries to note that we're a public nuisance, note that we're engaging in behavior that is illegitimate, and though he didn't call the police on us, it's clear he is establishing a record, probably with the advice of the city attorney, to try to get a temporary restraining order to bar us from legitimately making the case in the city council offices. We're not talking about setting up a tent city or spilling coffee all over the floor or ranting and raving. We're talking about sitting there waiting to talk to the council members who use the offices there, who come through that area, and whose responsibility it is to relate to the public. Any thoughts on any of this, Eric?
You're asking me if I have any thoughts on that whole issue?
Anything you've heard in the last half hour may want to, you know, stir you. I mean, I'm just giving you an opportunity to jump in here.
That's right. Well, you know, I think that what happens is you see a lot of people. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy out there. I think there's a lot of people out there who do not necessarily mean well and are you know, where am I going with this? I don't know, Robert.
Well, of course, what I want to see you going is I want to see you jump on board a lawsuit, but I think your time is probably spoken for. You were telling me earlier as I was lobbying you. But I guess what I would like anybody who has any legal resources is to talk to their friends. What we really need are small donations of legal time, not so much somebody who's willing to cover the whole case. We have an incoming call. Perhaps an attorney is calling.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
To bring in bring Eric back into
it's one of our two callers back again. Hey,
Eric,
caller.
Back into the conversation. Have you ever represented homeless clients in your practice?
I've never represented a client for any kind of violation of being a homeless person, whether or not they might have been a person who was homeless and I was representing for some other reason. I don't know.
So that's his answer to that.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, I guess you're on everybody's shit list now, Eric. You're under arrest. We're taking the homeless police are taking you into custody. No, I am looking for legal assistance. I think that sleeping bans are most usually overturned by legal action. So Portland's whole camping ordinance was ruled unconstitutional by Judge Gallagher in October. Miami's policies of interning, harassing, and criminalizing homeless people was overturned by the federal courts in 1991. In the Pottinger decision, Atlanta, Georgia had to pay massive amounts of money to homeless people and their attorneys and establish a whole new system of when they could contact them and when they could not, given the so-called life-sustaining misdemeanor criteria, which says that if there's a life-sustaining misdemeanor, like, you know, sleeping in the park, which is illegal and a misdemeanor in some cities and is illegal in Santa Cruz, all parks close at dusk in Santa Cruz, you can't approach a homeless person unless there's a shelter bed open. And, of course, there never is for most homeless people, although they try to, you know, arrange it, I guess, for particular cases. It's a legal counteroffensive, along with a political counteroffensive, that's often effective in having some impact on the city legislators. So, for instance, in Austin, Texas, the sleeping ban portions of the camping ordinance there were thrown out in, I think it was May of this year, and they're continuing that, so that we have a number of cities where sleeping is now legal, and it doesn't mean, of course, that police aren't trying to use other laws to harass homeless people, but the focus on it is an important one because I think it raises public awareness. And here in Santa Cruz, we've had an ongoing campaign, and in spite of the campaign, there are plenty of people, they say sleeping ban, is that some band downtown, no, that's some sort of rock group, no, it's it doesn't. It's not really a rock group. I'm, of course, a partisan for a long time of ending the sleeping ban, and I've been doing it for the last week. As I've been mentioning to you, there's this city council coffee clatch and tag team teach-in, which is essentially a very low-key lobbying effort, which even that effort has become the target of repression by city council, and I'm going to, as I said, set that up for you to listen to. And while we do, here's a caller number three, perhaps.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
It's caller number one.
Oh, no. I mean,
hi, caller
back.
Number one.
Excuse me. Boy, you are so much easier to reach than C-SPAN.
Yeah, to say the least.
But it's nice to be able to rethink of something. You mentioned something, and then something comes up, and to be able to call in and just have this public dialogue out in the open where people go. I think people need to understand real clearly, I've said this before, but I want to make it really clear, that the sleeping ban and the blanket ban are a pet ordinance of the police department. Its only purpose is to get around the Constitution. It's to criminalize a whole class of people, and by criminalizing that whole class of people, that under that veil of criminality, a lot of things are allowed to occur that the Constitution was supposed to prevent. A lot of things are allowed to occur that our forefathers never foresaw. When you criminalize the whole population, you can carry all kinds of illicit activity within that population. Using homeless people as mules for drugs. You know, I don't know if this particular police department is very well linked into the drug distribution system, but there's something rotten in Denmark. So it's a pet ordinance of the police department. It's something that they need in order to be able to use selective enforcement in order to be able to, protect the preciosity of this community and ignore
really, really staggering effects, like the ever exponential growth of evictions. The number one cause of death of HIV people in the Santa Cruz County and Santa Cruz City is eviction. That's the number one cause of death of HIV people. It's eviction. That's not true in anywhere else in the country. It's the number one cause of death here. That's because when you become evicted, two reasons. One, you're not allowed to have your HIV meds when you're homeless. That's California law. You're not allowed to take them because you can't be regular. The other is, of course, is that you get sleep deprivation because the police are rousting you all the time. And so newly evicted people especially, you know, are very, very susceptible. Old line homeless people may have more skills at avoiding police and so forth like that. So they've kind of gotten used to this repression, but it still is a repression. We do have to really, really understand how much it is a police pet ordinance. It's not a coincidence that in June 13th, when I was taken away by the police to the Dominican hospital to check my sanity because I fasted, that same night the police had orchestrated a community response by doing a disinformation campaign on the west side and in the Harvey West area, and had citizens coming to the city council all that night at Oral Communications and complaining about the council having ordered the police not to enforce any drug laws, not to enforce any sanitation laws, not to enforce any laws whatsoever in these yet-to-be-set-up safe sleeping zones that the police were sending the homeless into. And they were not supposed to send them into those zones until those zones were set up. So they sabotaged that effort. And it's not a mistake that it was the police that did it. We have to understand that. This is a pet ordinance of the police department. So when we're up against this, and we're fighting against this, know that they will arrest you. And like me, when they drove me about a block and a half away, they also threatened to kill me. They also threatened to dispose of my body. Maybe that's, to some people, that's not surprising. But people should know that, you know, I'm a pacifist. I was fasting for a political reason. Which many of these council members praise when it's somebody like Cesar Chavez, but when it comes to an issue before the city council that the powers that be, and Catherine Byers admitted summer before last that she would change this except for the powers that be. When it's the powers that be are ordering our council, and when the police department act as political agents to sabotage a matter that's in vote before the council, you know, we have a serious problem with democracy that we have to stand up and be really willing to take some arrests and take some abuse, because there's no other way it's going to change. I really hate to bring forward that news, but that's the situation.
Well, I thank you, David.
Sure.
And, of course, we brought that issue to Emily Riley on Friday when she came to the Homeless Working Group, finally, after 4 months. She's our new council member. And we asked her, look, you know, we had 3 votes for the safe sleeping zones. You're the fourth. You bring it up. They all have to vote for it or else be revealed as hypocrites or give good reasons why not. But she won't. And her response is, I'm new. I can't do anything. We got good people with good intentions and so forth. It's a problem that we really like to see is the history. And I asked her to get this to me, the history of what happened that killed the safe sleeping zones. Were there particular complaints against homeless people? What did the police do at that time? Looks like we have an incoming call, or we did a moment ago. Caller, you can try and call back if you want. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. Beginning next week, Monday, the City Council Coffee Clatch and Tag Team Teach-In begins at 10. If you wanted to sign up for an hour, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or you can call Bernard, and we can give you his number as well.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, my friend, who's this? Is this Robert?
It is.
I'm not on the air, am I?
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's terrible. I didn't mean that.
Okay, hang on.
I have a friend that's trying to get into you, and the line's busy. He wanted to tell you about his friend Michael, who fell into the ditch in the park.
This is another death of a homeless person?
Yes, it is.
Huh? Is he with you, or can he?
He's working at Staff of Life. He's been trying to call you and getting a busy line.
We've had a lot of calls, and we only have one line in. But certainly, tell him to keep calling.
Okay, and or if you can call him. He's trying to call you.
Oh, maybe we can call him. Do you have a number for him?
Yeah, I do. 423-8632.
We'll give him a call at 423-8632.
And if you don't get him there, try 423.
Whoa, hang on. I got to get a pencil. I can't actually write any of this down because I don't have a pencil with me.
His name is Roger.
Okay, let me quickly...
I'll remember the 8632 part.
Okay, let me... Give me those numbers again. 423...
423-8632.
Uh-huh.
or 423-8147.
8147. Okay, and ask for Roger.
Ask for Roger, and he'll tell you about Michael.
I will. Glad to hear that. Thank you, caller.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So we will do that in our primitive technological fashion. Of course, my guest here has been very patient. I want you to know you're not being held prisoner here. You're welcome to stay as long as you wish, but you don't have to if you're finding it... if it's getting to you.
This is actually very fascinating.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you like it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we're calling into Staff Alive looking for Roger, who has a report for us.
Staff Alive, can I help you?
Yes, we're looking for Roger.
Can you hold on just a second?
Sure. And you can still reach us as soon as Roger hangs up and we finish this call. All you listeners out there at 427-3772. And again, you can call City Council at 420-5017.
Roger here.
Hey, Roger. This is Robert. I'm calling you live on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, hey. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good. I understand you have a rather a sad report to make to us about the death of another homeless person.
Yes. A man... I've known for quite some time, named Michael Richards. He went by the name of Barefoot.
Uh-huh.
And we were born in the same hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1956, 3 months apart. And he was a really nice guy. He was like a Zen landscape guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in the park for about 20 years.
Which park was this?
Twin Lakes.
Uh-huh.
And about a week ago, he had a mishap. He fell into a ravine on his way home from a store, and his body was out there for about a week before they found him.
I see.
Very nice man. I'm really sad to see him go. He's my very best friend.
Wow. Anything you want to remember him by? Do you want to say anything more about him?
Just that he's going to be missed by quite a few people, and we're going to try and have some kind of a memorial service for him out at Twin Lakes Park within the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try and leave information there at the radio station for you.
That would be great.
So people can go out there, and, you know, people who knew him, because he knew quite a few people,
mm-hmm.
more in the Live Oak area than the downtown area.
Yeah.
It was more his stomping ground.
Was he a long-term Santa Cruzan?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were both born
in
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but he'd been out here for a very long time.
I see. Have you heard of any other casualties on the homeless front that you want to pass on to us?
No, but I did want to say that, you know, his death was not covered at all in any of the media.
Right.
And yeah, I feared because, well, people think, oh, he's just a homeless guy. Who gives a fuck, you know? But,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's a live human being and worthy of respect and valuable for that.
Yes. We had the same situation with Boxer Billy, the guy who was in a wheelchair, man without legs, who froze to death in the beach flats. I repeatedly called Daryl Cole, Heather Berner of the Santa Cruz Sentinel. They reassured me up and down they'd be writing something, and of course nothing has ever appeared. So.
Yeah, I heard about him today as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Scarecrow, there's two men who hanged themselves, there's another fellow, there's a whole bunch of people. I guess you heard, you probably weren't listening on the radio because you're at work, but there's going to be a memorial service on the 21st at the Homeless Services Center. I believe it's at 10 a.m. At 115 Coral Street, longest night of the year, the morning after, to do a memorial to the people who died in Santa Cruz this year outside. You might want to come and say a few words if you have any time that day.
I lost another close friend here who was involved in the rent strike thing. His name was Marco.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he was, I guess, married to Donna Rice, and he died of AIDS
mm-hmm.
about, 4 months ago. And I'd like to remember him as well because he was a solid citizen as far as I'm concerned.
A fighter for the rights of the people.
He was a very good man. He was involved in the early Santa Cruz punk rock thing with the Schematics. And, just, you know, a wonderful man. And I'm sorry to see him go as well.
Marco Marocchi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He used to go by the name Marco Mysterioso.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, thank you, Roger. And, hey, tune in and call in and keep us advised of whatever you think that we should know about on the...
Okay, yeah.
On the scene.
I was quite shocked about Michael. He was a pretty good guy. I don't have a bad word to say about him. He is a very gentle person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a valuable person.
Yep.
No matter what the Sentinel says or...
Doesn't say. Right. No matter what our laws say about the right of people to sleep at night.
Oh, man. That's got to be overturned.
Yep.
It's not right.
Thank you, Roger.
Who knows what these next 4 years with that asshole Bush are going to be like.
Or that, yeah, that asshole city council we have,
yep.
I've got to tell you. Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Bye, Rob.
Bye-bye.
And the phones are still ringing, and 427-3772 is the number to call once this caller hangs up.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Bob. It's Tom Reveley.
Hey, Tom, the old pioneer of free radio before there was a free radio.
Well, I've been away. I've been away for a long time, and I of course, came back and glued myself to your radio program.
No.
And I got to tell you, I'm kind of distressed to find that things haven't moved along a little bit more.
I'm glad you you should be.
Well, it seems to me, for instance, that it's about time that somebody started talking about the Eighth Amendment and not just the First in regard to the sweeping ban. This is crueler than usual punishment. I think it's been established for quite a while that mm-hmm. sleep deprivation is one of the worst tortures there is.
I agree.
And I was thinking about the possibility of becoming a little more proactive in regard to this. What about instead of hanging out at the city hall and the corridors of power, wouldn't it be possible to find out the home telephone numbers of some of the people involved and simply call them up every couple of hours or perhaps even more often?
It's interesting you should propose that because there are some people who were doing just that several weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was suggested particularly that people who have relatives who are outside at night who are ill, well, for example, Tim Fitzmaurice is the mayor, and he was being called, I think, at 1 or 2 in the morning by some homeless activist saying, are you aware that there are homeless people now outside who are being hassled by police as we speak or are in that position? And, you know, they can't sleep at night they're not legal unless they're staying awake.
Yeah.
And his response was something like, well, I have an elderly person here who's ill that I'm caring for, and you're, you know, endangering that person. And so I guess the people who are doing that call in, and I was not specifically involved in that campaign. I take a somewhat different stance on how to proceed, but they changed their position to say, well, no one will call Tim Fitzmaurice at home at 2 in the morning unless they have a relative who's outside who's ill. So, I always try to draw the line between the private individual at home and the public person at the office, but That's not a line that all activists respect, because public officials, you know, signed on for the duration, and they have the power to throw a meeting to change these laws. They could do it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And they're not.
I feel that as long as you're that tender-hearted, Robert, things are not going to move ahead.
We need someone with an iron will like yourself to lead us forward there, Tom.
Well, I don't think, and also I feel that the purpose of the call, as I see it, and it's just something that came up while I was listening, but the purpose of the call is not to engage them in conversation or to explain the reason for the call or anything. It is simply to keep them awake all night and to continue that to have it happen to more than one person. I don't see why it should all fall on one person's head.
Well, of course, there are two problems with that. I mean, there is a moral argument to be made for it, and a political argument, both. And of course, those arguments are that the sleeping ban is a crime, which keeps everybody else awake at night who is outside and under its aegis. And also, the political argument is that until you put strong pressure on these council members, they're not going to do anything.
Until you put the same pressure on
right.
these council members.
Right, but
it seems to me they ought to be under the same pressure. They should be asked to.
The counter argument, though, is, of course, that is criminal harassment of people. If you're calling them at 2 in the morning repeatedly, it's also conspiracy.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a case in court? You were asking about a legal case
right.
where somebody is saying, you're criminally harassing me because you're waking me up, but I can wake you up as long as you're on the street.
Right. I think that's a good point. But again, you would have to be willing to go to court to deal with it. And some people would. Some people would say, well, this is an issue of civil disobedience, not in the sense that I disagree with the criminal harassment law of the phone law. I think that that's perhaps a legitimate law. But it is. I feel so strongly about this issue that I am willing to undergo prosecution because I know homeless people outside are sleeping and being harassed every night, or trying to sleep, and can't.
the equal protection of the laws, Robert. You know, I mean,
right,
in
but
other
you,
words,
you would have to convince
to wake up people in their homes.
Right,
I don't
of
know
course,
why it isn't criminal harassment to wake
it
them
is.
Up outside.
But it's you see, as you know, in the Third Reich, it was considered to be appropriate form to send those Jews off to the camps, not criminal genocidal behavior. I guess it depends on whose legal system is on top. But the question for
the Constitution in this country,
sure.
Granted, it's been suspended.
Right.
For the optimist, it's been suspended. Otherwise, it's been abolished. But at least there's enough hypocrisy around so that
sure.
people actually believe that there are parts of the Constitution that work.
The question is for. There's another question too, because we're also appealing to the broad range of people in their home who do have houses, or at least who have rooms they're renting. And the question to get their sympathies and their understanding, most people, I think, oppose the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. I really believe that to be the case based on my experience. I mean, there are some who don't, and there's some who just sort of are confused about the issue, and there are a lot of people who don't even know about it. But most people, when you explain to them and read them the text of 6.36.010A, which is the Santa Cruz Municipal Code, this bars sleeping and defines camping as sleeping anywhere except for certain pieces of private property, they will say, that's ridiculous. You know, no one can do that. However, if you also tell them, well, you know, these people are calling public officials at 2 in the morning and waking them up, and their aged grandmothers are getting sick and so forth, or they have, you know, people at home they're trying to take care of medically, you're going to get sympathy running against you.
How far has sympathy gotten you all these years? I mean, what does it matter if 99.9% of the people are sympathetic, but the situation remains exactly where it is?
Well, I think you've got to get both things in place. Both the sympathy and the activism has to be in place, because when the two line up is when you win.
I think a little sleep terrorism, I think a little turnabout and sleep terrorism might be in order.
I see. Well, certainly you're entitled to your view. I'm going to, of course, have to call the FBI immediately. They're probably there already, actually, but we won't get into that at this time.
Well, I gave you the name of this old cripple I know.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that guy.
I gave you my real name.
You did. So go get 'em, guys, all you FCC people. Actually, you have yourself been victimized. The FCC kind of came in on you. What was it, in 1991 down in Venice?
91, your memory is excellent.
Yeah, when you were doing your one of the early underground radio stations, or free radio stations.
Yeah, it was a free radio station, a constitutional radio station that informed everyone that we were going on the air before we went on the air.
Right. Well, I want to thank you. I got some more tape I want to get through. So, is there anything else you want to add before we?
Oh, I just think that we have to start. At a certain point, if something isn't working, you know, if this were a business, and something hadn't been working for 30 days or possibly as long as 60 days, you would go back to the drawing board. And it seems to me that you have to go to the drawing board when something hasn't worked for as many years as this sleeping ban has been. I've been in Santa Cruz since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the dialogue remains very much the same.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. So what you're really saying is not the sleeping ban that hasn't worked. We know that one doesn't work. It's the activist's attempt to change it that hasn't worked. Yeah,
the
your point is well taken.
So active.
Well, thank you.
they ought to be perhaps a little bit more aggressive and a little bit less concerned with following the rules. You know, one of the guideposts of my life is a saying of a French philosopher who said, "One does not owe the truth to one's oppressors, and one does not owe sleep to the people who are depriving you of sleep."
Well, you know, it's hard to argue with some of that. Although I tend to believe the more moral high ground you take, the more people you draw to your side. But you know, you can point to the fact that we still got this ban, and I've been doing this for 12 years now, not seeming to be successful. So your criticism is taken. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
And the critics are hot and heavy here. We have any word from our guest here on this issue, Eric?
Well, actually, there was one thing. This is kind of an aside. He was talking about the FCC and the FCC regulations. And for my own personal enjoyment, I was wondering if you would indulge me and allow me to say fuck on the radio.
Officer, take him into custody. Yeah. No, well, fuck you for saying that, Eric, I must
and
say.
And fuck you, too.
Yes, fuck is, in fact, an acceptable word here at Free Radio. Fuck, 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 fuck. You see, we can say it here. You can say it. Anybody can say it. You can even do it if you're lucky enough to find a willing and attractive partner that you you enjoy it with. I think the ability to speak your mind is important. I think strong words are necessary at times, perhaps more times than we know, to get across the real message that we need to convey. And fuck is as much an acceptable part of the English language as any other word, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I appreciate
you,
being allowed
man.
To say that.
Right. Right. And it's, of course, one of the only radio stations within a 50-mile radius, so you'll be able to say the word fuck, because everyone else is running scared from the FCC, commercial sponsors, and everybody else in town. But we're not, so fuck them, as we say. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and phone lines will be open again in a moment, 427-3772.
Hi there. You're on Free Radio, or Fuck Radio, as some would say.
The FCC should be ashamed of themselves. Every time they open their mouth, shit comes out.
I see. Anything else, Mr. Four-time caller?
Fecal matter occurs, and then we got to stick with the FCC, because it's the only way to save the airwaves.
Well, poo-poo on you, man. Talk to you later.
You can see we have a great time here. New callers, of course, are really gratefully and graciously requested to do something to stop these repeat callers before they caca all over us. Actually, getting more serious, folks, I'm going to switch the scene now while I scramble for tapes to San Jose, where there has been a movement with a group called the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry. I was protesting with them, twice arrested with them this spring.